This is University Radio Nottingham.
Welcome back to The Pulse with me, Hermione, Ben and Dom. We're going to go over to Ben now about a story about Donald Trump building his wall. So over to you.
Yes. Donald Trump has announced that he is using emergency powers to bypass Congress and pursue the building of a wall along the US-Mexico border. Speaking in the White House Rose Garden this afternoon, the US president insisted that he had no choice but to declare a national emergency to deal with what he describes as a crisis of illegal immigration. He said, "I'm going to be signing a national emergency and that the US is suffering an invasion." The move, which will potentially divert billions of dollars from other projects, such as military construction and counter-drug efforts, has been condemned in advance by Democrats and activist groups, along with some members of his own Republican Party. It looks like it will be challenged in the courts, in both states and federal courts. But Mr. Trump acknowledged the likelihood of a legal fight, and said that he would almost certainly lose. He said that he expects to be sued, but added that the issue would go on to the Supreme Court, where he predicted he would win. Trump's decision came after weeks of wrangling over his signature campaign promise that led to a record 35-day partial government shutdown that proved politically damaging and hurt his approval ratings. On Thursday, in a rare display of bipartisanship, Congress approved a border security compromise to avert another shutdown. The Senate passed the legislation 83-16, while the House of Representatives voted 300-128. The bill devotes $1.4 billion, which is about £1 billion, to border barriers, but that is well below the $5.7 billion that Mr. Trump demanded. And so, what's going on with Donald Trump then?
Well, I think the two issues that have happened here today, they're separate issues, but one relies a bit more on the other. So I think it's best to start with the budget deal, because potentially, depending on what's signed in within the budget deal, he can't do anything with his executive action. But I think we've just got to get this off the bat right now. It's an awful budget deal. And it's completely immoral to vote on it, on something with border provisions in amidst a border crisis. And it's completely against the nature of constitutional government to have one of these massive omnibus packages with I think it's 1,200 pages in, dropped on the desk of the president the night before the vote. I mean, what it's meant to work as is every bill is meant to be separate, every single one's meant to have a vote on it, and every one of those has a right to be vetoed by the president. But this is not how it should work. It goes completely against what constitutional government stands for, and I want to get that off the bat right now, just to put that there. But the bill itself is awful because potentially based on what's in it, no wall will actually ever be built. So, for example, it's awful for a start because the original negotiating figure for the wall was something like $25 billion. And then Trump lowered his negotiations to 5.6, and then it was finally agreed on by the Democrats that it would be $1.6 billion. But in the actual provision in this budget, it's $1.375, so even less than they originally agreed. And it's only for 55 miles. And you can't even build a wall with that. It only limits you to using bollard barriers to one section of the border. And the reason they've limited to that one section of the border is because it's the most liberal part of the border, i.e. the Rio Grande Valley, where, because in this provision, it's been given that local officials will have vetoing power and over whether the wall is built, it means essentially no wall will be built. Also, within this, it moves funding of alternatives to things like detention centres into mainland, where the common use of law is what is known as catch and release, where you just release people. So instead of detaining criminals and deporting them, you just release them back into society. Also, it doubles the number of low-skilled, what's called H-2B, which is basically non-agricultural, non-seasonal workers that are allowed to be in the US each year, which is completely against what Trump stands for. Also, what I find the most shocking is fondly known as the MS-13 Household Protection Act, which means that it gives amnesty for cartel smugglers, basically anyone who has an illegal minor with them or is willing to sponsor them, not just sponsors them, willing to sponsor them, and means that they cannot be deported. So if you're an MS-13 criminal, just kidnap a child and you're fine. Those are some of the awful things that are in this bill. And based on the fact that Trump signed it, it means that no wall is going to get built, whether he uses executive action or not.
So you think this wall will never be built?
No, the wall, based on what's in it, you can't build the wall. So, I mean, the only option Trump has left is what he's threatening to do with what you said, which is using executive action to, I think you said, $8 billion worth of funding towards the wall. I mean, I completely disagree with using the executive branch in that fashion on a moral level. So, one, I disagree with it on that standpoint. But also, before what was in this bill, it couldn't be built anyway, because to use executive action in that order to declare an emergency, you'd be using the army and not the immigration officials, which, I mean, which Trump would do, so that makes it not illegal. It's also not wartime, so he can't use it.
So has he basically shot himself in the foot here?
That's what I was thinking. He's, by signing this bill, he shot himself in the foot and you can't build the wall. But this is the thing.
He's now claiming he's going to sue. Is he going to sue the government or something so he doesn't have to go around it?
That might be part of the breaking news, but I don't know. I think that's part of the executive action, which I don't think he should have. The executive branch should never have that much power, and it's disgusting that it's being used in this way. But what did you used to say?
About whether he shot himself in the foot here.
This is the thing. Everyone makes these jokes about Trump playing 4D chess, and he ends up being in the right somehow after a certain amount of time. I think you said his approval rating figures had dropped. They've actually risen to, depending on who you read, 46 to 52%, which is the highest of any leading official in the Western world. So his approval ratings are actually quite good. And when he came into power, it was 48%.
I mean, Britain is going through we're going through Brexit. Like, what does that actually show?
Well, I mean, if you look at what the aim is for him, it's essentially to get into presidency again in 2020. What he's shown through doing what he's done now, whereas we're going to shut the border, we're going to negotiate in a proper way, give lots of concessions. Okay, the Democrats aren't going to do that. Okay, they don't like it. Right, we're going to negotiate again, and they've royally... I can't use that word. Been sly with their dealings with them and kind of dealt in bad faith with Trump. What he's shown through all of these negotiations is that the Democrats are absolutely ludicrously insane.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that. But the fact is, you know, you ask, how has he shot himself in the foot with this? And I think the fact is, you know, the US has essentially experienced its longest government shutdown that it has ever experienced, 35 days. And if you remember back to, it was also the issue of immigration, which shut down the government in 2018, sorry. And that's when the Republican Party had full control of Congress. And actually, when this shutdown started, the Republicans still had full control of Congress. And so realistically, it's kind of become a more of a battle between Congress and the executive. And it kind of shows that even members of his own party aren't, you know, very comfortable with him if they're allowing the government to be shut down because they're not exactly getting on side with this.
Karen.
No.
With the agreeing with the president, it's I think it's just party politics has become so rabid and prominent that the executive branch is literally just, is he on my side? I have to say yes. But you're completely right though when you're saying when he had control of both the House and the Senate, why didn't he do this then? He should have done it then if he wanted to build the wall.
Yeah, and it's interesting because realistically there people are challenging his views. However, at the same time, Donald Trump has essentially taken control of the Republican Party. These people in Congress, a lot of the time they need him in order to get re-elected. And so it creates this really strange situation where they don't essentially agree with him, but also kind of need him at the same time if they want to keep their jobs. And I think it kind of sets up a really interesting situation for the 2020 election in which direction do these Republicans go, and also, you know, how the voters respond to him and his term in office. Because, you know, a lot of people saying that if he only runs to his base, that won't help him when it comes for re-election, and whether he needs to take a different tack. Otherwise, I don't know if we've seen a different tack, but it hasn't seemed to be branching out that much.
I think what he's doing now actually ends up appealing to the people in the centre, because showing how the Democrats have reacted to this, which is, I'm not being hyperbolic here, it's genuine lunacy in the way they've reacted to it. It shows that the Democrats aren't for the centrist. I mean, it's been shown, proven that they are going radically to the left on many issues, and they're not calling out their own party members when this kind of thing happens. I mean, all Trump has to do is stand there, let them make these faux pas, and just call them out on it. Like, look at Ilhan Omar, like, open anti-Semite, and no one's calling her out on the Democratic Party. They just go, oh, it's okay. Or look at she pretended she was Native American and did a DNA test and showed it she was less than the average person Native American. And all Trump has to do is just stand there and go, ha, look at them, and they're a saint.
Yeah, that's
like his rally just before this all happened, when he went to the El Paso in Texas, the border town, and he stood there by the wall and said, we need the border wall. And Beto O'Rourke, who was potentially thinking about challenging Trump, held a counter rally where he had, I think it was approximately 300 people compared to Trump's 40,000 people. What? And in Beto O'Rourke, he's standing in front of a fence separating him between Trump and him, saying, we don't need a wall at the border wall. And you're going, well, that's awful optics. And Trump just stands there and goes, yeah, well, he can't muster 200 people. I think his presidency is over. All he has to do is just stand there and bat them off. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, well, like the whole point about the Trump rally thing, I think, you know, 40,000. And then he also said that the fire department, for some reason, against health and safety standards, allowed him to, like, overload the stadium, which, to be honest, I find a bit difficult to believe. And, of course, you know, this is how US politics work. And you talk about the Democratic Party, you know, not calling out its own members, which in some cases has been true. But then if you look at the Republican Party and the fact that... If you look at the Republican Party, and they just, you know, they accept a lot of this things going on, you know, they, you know, Islamophobia, homophobia, they kind of allow that stuff to go on because that's what they see as acceptable.
I don't know. I don't see it as much. I mean, when a Republican says something, I mean, I guess the best comparison I can do is Steve King against Ilhan Omar. So Steve King comes out and he says, I think it was, among other things, why should white supremacy be thought of as a bad term? To which everyone went, no, you're out, and they got rid of him immediately. He was immediately primaried. Ilhan Omar consistently, for years and years and years, does anti-Semitic remarks and still does them to this day, still refuses to apologise for them, and the Democrats just go, oh, no, it's fine, don't worry. Fresh face, fine. The Republicans are very quick to stamp out their hindrances, whereas the Democrats very much embrace them.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that for a variety of reasons.
This is URN.